please. 1 Peter chapter 2. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, let's all stand, please. We'll read the first three verses together. You read along with me silently, and I'll read out loud. Actually, we'll begin reading in chapter 1, verse 23. How about that? That would be better, because I'll come back to this at the end of the sermon. Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the new birth, that which changes everything, is not like our first physical birth. Regardless of your parents, you inherit a sin nature from both of them, and you are born a sinner, corruptible, dying, and sinful. But the second birth, we're born again by the word of God. He goes on to say, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, because of this new birth, because of what God has done, laying aside all malice, that is ill will towards people, evil will towards others, and guile or deceit, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speaking. Get out of the business of talking down about people. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, and the form of this particular word in Greek, I don't like to deal with Greek on Sunday morning necessarily, but there's two broad categories. One is the if that's hypothetical, if this happens, and then there's the one that doesn't mean if in that sense. It means if and this is true. We would say things to my children, as my daughter was reminded yesterday. If you're a Warren, you live a certain way. Amy? She reminded we said that because we said that to Nathan last night. You're a Warren, and Warrens don't behave that way. But we weren't asking the question, if you're a Warren, it's an assumption. It's that here. So the assumption is you have tasted. You have been one of those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious or good. I'm going to speak on verses 1 to 3 on that you may grow. And I hope this morning, on this Lord's Day, the first day of the year, I will be able to encourage you for that are believers in areas called growth. Father, thank you for this great text. It is very beautiful, simple. It is why we're so excited about children, growth. It's why we like to look at little children, just to see what they're doing new next week and the week after. Father, I believe that's what you're getting at in this text, the excitement, the exhilaration of growing, regardless of age, regardless of place in life, that which exhilarates the individual and exhilarates others who watch, growth. Use your word in me, a sinful, fallen individual with many limitations. May you use me to proclaim your word this day. I ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I'm going to tell a story, and I have to leave out a word every time I tell this. It's not a bad word. It's just not something I want to use in church. You will understand what word it is. You will also understand how bad men are from the story, so some of the ladies will be happy. Most of my friends are now in the grandparent stage. Somebody in this room, Dada over here, we have to change his name from Dada to Lolo Dada, Grandpa Dad. Because are you a grandpa? Yes. It is exciting, by the way. I love my grandson. It's lovely because when he has a dirty diaper, it's not my responsibility. Never was. That's true, too. I better move on quickly. A friend of mine recently had an addition to his grandchildren. And, you know, my wife will always say, tell me, men are the worst. We don't really talk about that kind of thing. At least I don't. But my friend did say he had an addition to the grandchild, and his grandchild superseded my grandchild because his grandchild is the newest kid on the block. I am so bad, I'm not even sure if the grandchild's a he or a she. So forgive me, I'm just going to say he. So we were talking, you know, and he was saying when the baby was born, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And he said to me, I ask him a simple question. Well, how's the baby? And he says, well, you know, he's a baby. Is that a man's answer? It's a baby. I said, what do you mean? He says, you know, he's a baby. He eats. He sleeps. He wakes up. He eats. He sleeps and he wakes up. And I have a sharp wit occasionally. I immediately answered, are you talking about an old man or talking about a baby? Some of you didn't get what I just said. He laughed. He thought that was funny. And I talked to him and I said, brother, I know one thing. There's at least one more thing a baby does than eat, sleep, and wake up. That's what we're going to talk about. Look in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. I'm going to begin with a verse that you overlook that's the most important. You overlook it because it doesn't seem to fit in. He says, if so be. And the assumption is, yes, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We must begin this conversation this morning, this sermon, on the subject of growth by saying this, grow because you can. Anytime growth is mentioned, something is assumed. Life. If there is no life, there is no. You can't. I don't go outside by my house and preach to my driveway because my driveway is not alive. You can't encourage someone that is dead to grow. So when I say, number one, grow because you can, and I can even say grow because you must, I'm going back to when you look at this precious baby. Now, I understand why we like babies. By the way, do we like babies because of this? They wake up, they eat, they sleep. Do we like babies for that reason? You know what is interesting and exciting about any baby? It's the reason you want to go to the nursery. It's the reason you want, because every week or two or three, you're like, oh, the baby can do this. Oh, the baby can do that. The baby is what? Because growth requires life. And the passage here is saying, I'm not commanding you to grow if you don't have life. If you haven't tasted that the Lord is good, I'm wasting my time because you're a dead person. You don't have spiritual life. I can't encourage you to grow. But if you have tasted that the Lord is good and gracious, and I think you have is the idea, grow because you can grow. Grow because you must grow. Something you have to do. Recently, sometime in December, my wife had her piano concert here at church. Beautiful night. A lot of our kids participated. It was just it's a wonderful night. If you don't get to come, try to come in the spring. We have another one in the spring, don't we? Just a great night. At the end of the night, my buddy over here, his name is Atong, is his name among Filipinos. You might call him Ray. Ray Arceo. Brother Ray Atong came up to me and he showed me some pictures. Remember that night? And I just, it was. And then I think a little bit later you came and showed me the pictures earlier. Is that correct? So what I want to do is I want to show you the pictures because, friend, when I talk about growth, I'm talking about you. Can we see those pictures, sister? Are we going to be able to see them like this? No. Tim, can you shut off the lights behind me? Just leave them off. They'll be okay. Can you see these pictures? You know who this is? Who is this, Atong? Well, there's the ugly guy on the right. We got that part. But who are those? Do the girls know? There's somebody happy in there. Next one, sister. One's smiling and one's like, oh my goodness, what happened? Next. Carly, is that Carly? Carly, is that you? There's an ugly guy beside her and behind her too. Go ahead, next. Oh my goodness, and there's Brenna. Now, I got those pictures because I want to show you something, folks. Here's four of our young ladies. You'll understand why I got those pictures. Let's look at the next pictures. How do you like the picture on the left? Christy. Can you believe that picture on the left? And today, almost every one of those girls are as tall or taller than my wife. This was the first recital they were in. Is that right, Atong? And this one was this year. And I saw that and I thought, folks, when we talk about growth, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about you've been saved for how long and nobody notices a difference? I got news for you. You see these girls here. You stand against Brenna and Carly, and these girls are taller than my wife. And the other two twins are pretty close to the same height, and they have become young ladies. They have a little bit of class most of the time, a little bit of culture. They're pretty smart most of the time. They're beautiful pianists. And look at me, and all it is growth. That's it. Why do you grow? Because you can. And may I say this, and you must. Because if you don't grow, you don't have life. That means you're dead. So if you've been here 20 years and nothing ever changes, do you understand what that means? Because people that are alive, listen, they grow. Christy, just leave that picture there for a while. I like that. You don't have any more. This is the last one, right? I like that picture. When I saw that picture, by the way, this is the ones that Atong showed me first. I smiled. I was happy. I was blessed. You say, why were you blessed? Because I could see these two sets of twins, so to speak, these four beautiful young girls becoming young ladies, growing up. And what makes a pastor's heart rejoice is not just when you see somebody get saved, when you see them grow up. And all of a sudden they're mature and they're sounding like an intelligent Christian. And they can think and they can make choices and they can respond properly. They have grown up. I can't wait till a few more years. Atong will get another picture when they graduate from high school. 4 years after that, a picture when they graduate from college. Yes, ladies? Carly? Brenna? You say, why? Because I know what they're going to do because I know their parents they all have a pitchfork right behind them. Growth, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Grow, please look at me. Grow because you can and you must. And if you do not grow, this is the only negative all day. If you do not grow, and you know if you do, do you understand what that means? You're not a Christian. Because Christians have life. And people that have life grow. And people that don't have life don't grow. They stay where they are for decades. Nothing changes. Let's continue. Christy, you can just leave that up. I think everybody would rather look at that picture than me anyhow. Nancy. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. By the way, before I go there, let me mention other kids. Do you ever look at the little kids? Isn't it a beautiful thing when they're born? The other day, in the last month, I don't know what day it was, Amanka'a, I was looking at your sweet daughter Mia. I know she's perfect. Where did she go? She left. She's in the nursery with the other one. She's with Abu. I looked at Mia and I thought, boy, this girl is growing up. And then I remembered Abu being born and she's growing up. Isn't it nice when you see growth in people? It's very nice. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Here we get to the heart of the message. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Number one, grow because you can and must. Living beings grow. Dead beings don't grow. Number two, grow along with your desires. Everybody, when my buddy said, the baby wakes up, eats, sleeps, wakes up, eats. Do you ever have to wonder if a child is hungry? Does a child say, Mommy, it's time? No, they start. By the way, he's using language. He says, he's not saying you are a newborn babe. Look at the text. He's not calling you a newborn Christian. He's saying, as if you're a baby. You ought to grow as if you're a baby, and as a newborn baby grows, because the baby has life, the baby wants to eat, the baby wants to grow, and it's going to happen. So not only grow because you can, you grow along with your desires. And my friend, to me, this is the most life-changing truth I personally have ever learned. He focuses on the word desire. He says, just like a little newborn child, they desire something to eat. The growth that happens in our life is not a program. It's not step one, step two, step three. It flows from within because there's life, and it's something you desire. You desire to eat. You desire to grow. It comes from within. It's that strong desire. It is the longing for something. So we grow along with our desires. Meaning, I desire this, I grow that direction, not I hate this over here, I have to learn this though. We should start with our desires. The word desire is a very strong word. I'm going to read some verses, you don't have to look them up. Romans 1:11 says, for I long to see you. That's the kind of desire. 2 Corinthians 5:2 says, earnestly desiring. Philippians 1:8 says, how greatly I long after. It's that longing. It's something that you must do. Philippians 2:26, for he longed after you all. 1 Thessalonians 3:6, desiring greatly. 2 Timothy 1:4, greatly desiring to see thee. All of those are the same word of that desire. Let me make it simple. Because men, the older you get, have you watched old men? They sleep, they eat, and they go back to sleep. So let's step back and make this really positive. I think everybody ought to grow from this guy over here to the guy back here to Raphael to over here. You ought to grow by following the passions and what you need at the time. Your needs, your desires. My wife and my daughter are polar opposites in many ways. Amy tends to be a little bit more outgoing and a lot more bossy. Jenny is a little introverted and kinder. That's kind of like, duh. John took after Jenny and Amy took after, I don't know who she took after. So here's my wife and my daughter's philosophy about life. Amy has a cup. I know she has the cup, and the cup says this. If you want to eat breakfast in bed, sleep in the kitchen. That's her personal philosophy. Aaron, I'm sorry, buddy. It's as good as it's going to get. But my wife is sweet. She'll come to me and say things like this. Honey, what would you like to eat? What do you desire today? Sometimes she'll say it in this language. I don't know where she learned this from. What do you have a hankering for? Now, of course, if she asks that too often, it's always bad food, of course. So recently she fixed me some, I had a hankering, you know, once or twice a year she will break down and do this. I have a hankering for fried potatoes, biscuits, gravy, which you should never eat this side of heaven, eggs, fried eggs, and sausage. Noel, that is Stairway to Heaven on steroids. But I had, by the way, I had a hankering. You say, Pastor Warren, what are you getting at? Folks, this is the whole sermon. Please look at me. The Apostle Peter writes, if you have life, if you have tasted, follow your desires. What do you want? You say, well, there's, by the way, we're talking Christian life. We're not talking food. There's nothing bad. Start with what you want. So I'm going to give you my testimony. As a very young Christian, Jericho, I mentioned, where'd Jericho go? Jericho and I, we had a little conversation. We'll pick up this conversation. When I was your age, first year away from home. Do you guys remember that? I was in the Navy. I was back in the hippie generation. God got a hold of my life, and I was trying to do what's right. By the way, I did not read a book on growth 101, growth 102, growth 103. I needed and desired certain things. You say, what were they? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Romans 8:37, nay, and all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You say, why? Because I was in a fist fight, and to survive, I had to grab it. By the way, I wasn't finding out what verse is good for you. I was finding out what I desired during the same period of time. Verses like this. Being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. 2 Timothy 1:12, we say, what did you struggle with? I struggle with doing right and standing alone. So I memorized, and my heart was drawn to those verses that helped me to stand alone. And then I struggle with it, eternal security, or the whole concept, can I be sure I'm saved? And I started memorizing the verses that gave me appropriate assurance. Verses like 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, where Paul says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Or how about John 10:28? Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Friends, I started memorizing. You say, why? Because my desires were to succeed as a follower of Christ. My desires were to be built upon a rock where my faith had found a resting place in Christ and him alone. And I remember people giving me a packet of verses to memorize, and I looked at them and I said, I don't need these. Follow your desires. What do you need right now, right here? Your life is different than mine. What do you need? Go after it. Don't live someone else's Christian life. I'm going to go farther in my life, but before I do that, has it ever dawned on you? You can buy the books, but in the Bible, there's no book called Discipleship 101. Has that ever dawned on you? There's no book called Discipleship 102 and 103. There's no book called Here's How to Grow in Grace, Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3. Do you know why? Because the Bible assumes this. Please look at me. If you're a saved person, wherever God saves you, at that point, enter in right there. Grab a hold of what God has for you right there. Start where you are right here. Start with what you desire, what you need. You say, I need to understand this. I need to grasp this. 1975, I needed those verses. 1976 was a different struggle. You remember things about youth more. 1976, in case you don't know, I have an inquiring mind. I struggled over the issue of evolution. I struggled so much at Parris Island, South Carolina, this would have been in 75, I slipped down in the kitchen, under the kitchen table about 5:30 one morning, just panicking because I could not explain the evolution creation issue. I was reading the foolishness in the Scofield Bible about a gap theory and all that junk, and I'm like, I remember slipping down under the table alone with God saying, God, I have no idea. I don't remember all the words I said, but something to the effect is, I am willing to surrender my mind until you give me answers. I got transferred to Bethesda to go to school at George Washington, at the Naval Hospital Bethesda, and I went to a little church, and that pastor took me to Washington Bible College. The night I went there, I liked books then too. He went to a class. I was looking around the campus. I went into the bookstore, and sitting on, I think, a barrel was an array of a brand new thick book, a scientific and devotional commentary on the book of Genesis by... That saved my sanity. May I say this to you? I don't need that as much at 57. But I needed it then. Friends, go with your desires. What do you need? Don't wait around for Pastor Warren to preach the sermon you need. Where are you at? Where has God saved you at? Where has God brought you to? You have, he says, desire as a newborn child. Growth. Grow with or along with your desires. 1977. Before I was dating, before I was married, before I had children, I read a little book called Dare to Discipline. The better edition's out now called New Dare to Discipline. Deals with family and child rearing. A guy named James Dobson. Life changer. Game changer. Help me think about children, and more importantly, look at me, help me deal with my childhood and the anger of my father. I grew up around men, guys in my high school that said their goal in life, when they grew up, they were going to be bigger than their old man and beat the Hades out of them. I was one of those kind of guys because my father was a violent man. Do you understand violence? That book, look at me, friend, that book just eliminated that from my heart. My friend, don't wait around to grow until you hear the right sermon. What are your desires? What are your needs? Grow because you can. You have life. Grow along with your desires at your point in life. 10 years later or so, not quite, 1985, 86, because of circumstances in my life, and a man trying to destroy me as a pastor, or ever hoping to be a pastor, I wrestled with texts that helped me with the sovereignty of God. Specifically, Psalm 76:10, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. I quoted Psalm 103:19. I memorized it during that era. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalm 135, verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in all deep places. Turn your Bibles. Hold your hand here. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4, would you please? Ephesians 4. And also Matthew 6. Would you look at both places? Friend, do you have any idea what I'm trying to say? If you're not growing here this morning and you've been around church for years, that basically tells you you're not a saved person. I'm sorry. Because if you have tasted, you have life. And if you have life, go to the nursery. Go back to the same nursery 6 months from now. You grow. But my point is not to condemn anybody. My point this morning is drop all the religion stuff. Grow with your desires. You have needs right here, right now, right at this place. Find those needs and grow in those needs. So if I started over here with Brian and went all the way through this place, out of this group of people, we would have many different needs. I cannot possibly preach on all those in one weekend. What are your needs? I should be able to start right over here with Joshua. And Joshua should talk about where he's at in his life. And he should be memorizing verses, reading passages, reading books, interacting with ideas that deal with his needs all the way through. I'm going to give you a pastoral secret that's, I've never said this before. I don't think I even realized it until recently. It is hard to preach as a pastor on things you're not dealing with. I have read probably 3,000 to 5,000 pages in the last month on the subject of child rearing. Do you realize my children are grown? It's hard to get passionate about saying the same things I've already said. But I've got to do it. But hey, do you have children? What are you reading? What are you doing? Shouldn't you be reading? You say, well, I'm a grandparent now. Well, you have a different set of problems. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind, tenderhearted. What's the next phrase? Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath done what? Now turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. You say, Pastor, what did you have to learn? By the way, 1986 to about 1992, somewhere between 4 to 6 years, I wish I could say it was 14 minutes. Some things take me a long time to learn. How about you? Took me 4 to 6 years to learn some of this stuff. Please look at me. I had a man that lied about me and tried to destroy me. Did you hear me? He lied about me and attempted to destroy me. He did break relationships that I had with friends. I've never spoken to them since. Do you understand? I wrestled with the sovereignty of God first and came to conclude. I sat right across this man's desk and he looked at me and pointed his finger and he said, Warren, you will never pastor a church. That was 1986. He wasn't much of a prophet, was he? But do you know how that makes you feel? I had to come to the place where I realized if God is God and God wants me to pastor, I will pastor. And God is God, not that little turkey or toad or whatever you want to call him. The other thing I had to wrestle with was forgiveness. Matthew 6, verse 12. By the way, everybody here knows this if you've heard me preach. If you've been around a while, Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we do what? That wasn't my problem, folks. Look at verse 14 and 15. Jesus says, because he knows Christians don't forgive. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Please look at me, friend. I had a problem. I had a man that is one of the biggest liars I've ever met, demonstrably. Fred Moritz caught him in an outright lie from the pulpit in a church out west. He talked about playing football for Louisiana, University of Louisiana. Fred Moritz looked on the, you can actually go on the website, look at the pictures of all the guys that played football during those years. He didn't play football. So he said, what year did, Fred Martz is meaner than me. He went back the next night and said, what year did you play? But by the way, here's my problem. The Bible commands me to forgive. Did you know that? Hey, did you know the Bible commands you to forgive? For 4 to 6 years of my life, the guy you're looking at, this is not religion, I wrestled with, how can I forgive this guy? In 2 year period of time, 7 men were his assistant pastor and they left. He had 7 assistant pastors leave in 2 years. One left in the middle of the night. How many assistant pastors have I had here, Josh, since you've been here? Assistants or associates? How long have you been here? Can you count that high? He's a math teacher here, folks. You've been here 2 years or 3 years longer than me. Now, do you understand that I don't tend to run assistant pastors off? Pastor Melvin was here 10 or over years. I thought, how can I forgive? Look at me. For years in my life, I thought, how can I forgive this man when nothing has changed? And if I forgive him, he would do the same thing to me tomorrow. But I'm commanded to forgive. Well, I'm not going to preach the sermon. You know, it's called the Bible. It's called, look at me, friend, it was what I needed, and then I needed to be able to preach to others. One day in my office in St. Louis, I'm reading 1 Samuel 24, verse 22. You can look at it if you want. David has been, Saul has been trying to kill David. David loved Saul. He forgave Saul, but he didn't reconcile with Saul. And all of a sudden, like the lights turned on, it's like, oh my goodness. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. I must forgive. Maybe not today, but sooner or later. I don't have to reconcile. Forgiveness takes me and God, Mark 11, 25 and 26 says, I can forgive while I'm standing praying. Reconciliation takes me, God, and that person. Do you realize the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders from two lines in two chapters of 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel 24, 22 says, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up to the hold. David forgave, but he didn't reconcile because Saul hadn't changed. 1 Samuel 26, Saul again is trying to murder David. And it says, David went on his way, Saul returned to his place. All of a sudden, like the weight of the world was off my shoulders. Friend, I could speak about this for hours. Please look at me. If I stop right here, I would be happy if you got what I've said. If you're alive, there's got to be growth. And if there isn't growth, what's wrong? But on the positive side, friend, grow with your desires. Where are you at? Start where you are. Start with what you need. You're struggling in your marriage. You're struggling with your children. You don't know why you can't be a proper parent. You can't figure that out. Well, don't just go watch TV. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Koch. Find the text in the Bible. Find the books. Start growing in that area. Now, I have to demonstrate this. Josh, can I borrow you? Jim, can I borrow you? Just for a second. Tim, Dada over here, and 2 Timothy here. All you guys come up here. I don't have this in the notes, but I've shared this before. By the way, if you don't get this, I've said, please look at me, there is no place, you guys need to stand shoulder to shoulder. So step out a little bit, guys. Step out a little bit. Yeah, you guys, not enough of you guys have been in the military to understand shoulder to shoulder there. All right. There's no book in the Bible that tells you how to grow. And here's what you find among Christians. There's only two kinds, those who grow and those who don't. And I don't get those who don't, but I'll give you a real blessed truth. It doesn't make any difference where you grow at. Because if you grow here, you start where you are with what you need. You start and don't, look at me, and don't stop. Whatever you learn, it starts changing everything about you. You're looking for a magic sequence. There isn't a sequence. This isn't robots. These are believers. This is a life. This is following Christ. And you start following Christ in child rearing, then it's just a ripple effect in your life. My friend, start, grow with your desires, and when you do that here, it's just amazing how this just ripples into your life. But you must start. You say, I'm having difficulties. Who isn't? The set of difficulties I have at 57 are so different than the ones I had at 19. You say, they're easier. We're going to go to that next. Thank you, gentlemen. Look, if you would, 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Would you look there? First Peter 2, verse 1. I have said, grow because you can. Number 2, grow along with your desires. Is everybody with me so far? So when you leave here this morning, don't ask me what I want you to do. Ask what you're dealing with. And here's what I know. If you're following Christ, you're dealing with something. And yeah, it's quite a bit different at age 18 than it is 57. A little bit different. At 18, I never thought about my parents ever dying. At 57, I know one of them has. Number 3, grow away from the old man, the old life. Look what he says. Wherefore, laying aside, but this is not the list that I would expect. Malice? Who cares if you have a little ill will towards somebody? That's not like drinking, is it? He goes on, guile or deceit, hypocrisies, envies, evil speaking? Grow away from the old man. My friend, growth is this simple. Grow because you can. You have life. Grow along with your desires and needs of that moment. You're longing for this problem. And the more you do that, it starts having repercussions. And in the process, you got to leave some things behind. Now, I got to tell a story quickly. 2015 is a scary year for me. Now, I'm not as old as Frenchie. Nobody is. But this year, I will have graduated from high school 40 years ago. 40? Jared's sitting over there thinking, 40? 40? Here's what's weird, Jared. You feel the same at 57, almost 58 as you did at 18. There's something about it. You don't feel like you're a different person in some ways. And it passes quickly. Well, if it's my 40th anniversary, most of you know in America, they tend to have class what? I've never been to a class reunion. It's not because I hate the people I grew up with. Actually, I'd like to see some of the people that I started first grade with, went all the way to 12th grade. We grew up in the country together. I'd like to see Bruce Kendall, Danny Thomas, a bunch of those guys. I'd like to see them. I've never been back. I think it would be weird going back. But I want to ask all of you a question, and I'm going to move on to point four. It's a simple question. Would it be a compliment if I went back, they stuck out their hand and said, you haven't changed in 40 years. Would that be a compliment, yes or no? But you know what? If I go back to that reunion, which probably I won't, I guarantee I'll meet people. Oh, they've gotten older. They don't have hair, or it's gray, or they're pudgy. But they haven't changed. My friend, there has to come a time in your life when you get rid of some stuff. Look at me. You got to clean up the mess. Now, when you're a young person, Jared, I'm going to pick on Jared because I like him. And I know Jared's perfect. He's not struggling with this. But when I was his age, I'm going to be honest, I grew up in the hippie era. I was struggling with smoking pot. I can remember thinking before God, if I can get rid of pot, alcohol, and one other sin, I got it all fixed. But Peter doesn't talk about smoking pot, getting drunk, gambling, or anything else. He talks about ill will. May I say this to you? At 57 years old, 58 years old, Jared, you're going to be struggling with a different set, but it's still stuff you got to leave behind because you never want somebody to come back to this church and say, you're just like what you were 20 years ago. You were a zero then, and you're a zero now. That's the antithesis of growth. My friend, what's beautiful about that picture? When these lovely four young ladies over here on the left started playing the piano, remember, I used to go to my office because it was so painful, I couldn't handle it. Today, they play music. They have what? How's your growth been? You got to give up. You got to clean the trash out. Let's go back to the last point this morning. You got to lay some stuff aside. Grow because you can. Grow with your desires. Grow apart from that old man, that old life. You've got to get rid of the junk. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 23, please. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the what? Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Friend, here's the sermon this morning. Grow because you can. If you're not growing and you've been around Christianity 5 to 10 years, I can only tell you this, you need to come and get saved because there's no life there. Grow along with your desires. I'm looking out here at my buddy Young. Young has three lovely children. His place in life is so different than mine. I don't have little children at home anymore. My needs and desires are different than his are. Grow where you are. Grow without the old man. laying that apart, setting that aside, apart from that, and grow in the Word. It all started when you heard the gospel. You heard the gospel and you trusted Christ. In the same way you trusted Christ, you continue to grow in the Word. It's the same process. You heard the word of the gospel when you got saved, and you continue to hear the word of God. My friend, there is no growth apart from the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Obviously, Job 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from thy commandment of his lips, the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Children are wonderful. I love my grandson. But when my grandson is hungry, he's hungry. When he's tired, he's tired. Job said, when I'm hungry, there's something I think is more important than my food. His word. And let me say this. I said this 20 years ago nearly in this church, 19 years ago nearly. I heard this statement. It is a life changer. No Bible, no breakfast. And there's not a male in this room that will go without two meals. By that third meal, you're going to read the Bible. You say, how do we grow? We grow because we can. We grow along with the desires we have where God has put us. We grow apart from the old man, and we grow in the Word. It's the Word of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 19, verse 10, speaking of the Word of God, says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Psalm 119, verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. My friend, I close with this. Look at the pictures. Everybody knows why you like those pictures, because you see some pretty little girls becoming beautiful young ladies. You see what? Guess what, God, what we should see in your life? Please look at me. I'm not asking you to do one thing that I do. I'm asking you to grow where you are. What you need. What your struggles are. And by the way, if you're saved, you already know what those are. And you know what? We will see not in 5 minutes, not in 5 days, but in 5 years, somebody will come back here and say, man, I remember that person has just, when I went to Japan and saw Cliff Cavallis, which was a sharp guy when he was here, saw him running a church service, and I look at people and I think, they can't even run themselves. What's the difference? 5 years, that old Cliff Cavallis just keeps, did you see it too? Growing, growing, and growing. You haven't changed in 40 years. That is the condemnation of a person. We all must change and grow. Let's use 2015 for that purpose. Father, thank you for your word this morning.